I am taking the Buffalo Bills out of the AFC. It is time. It is time. Josh Allen finally breaks through, and Josh Allen seizes that crown from the Chiefs. In the NFC, it is the Eagles, and my Super Bowl champion for Super Bowl 60, for the first time in this franchise's history, the Buffalo Bills are winning Super Bowl 60 out in Santa Clara.
Wow! Unbelievable! Should I stop? I'll stop.
At least you have the luxury of stopping if that's what you choose to do.
Woo!
Has anything ever been said on a shouty show that was just like, okay?
It can't be. It's not allowed. It's against the rules.
You think the Bills were 3-14?
Right. Nate Peterman was their quarterback or something.
I am taking the Tennessee Titans.
What?
Well, that's Peter Schrager, and he is not alone, of course, in picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl. In fact,
Sam, when you did this,
Sam Panayotovich,
when you picked the Bills, did Joe like scream in the background like, I can't believe it? Oh my God! I mean, you know, we're in the entertainment business. I understand if it has to happen. I mean, I just, you know,
Sam,
I would like to formally thank Peter Schrager for listening to Bet Sweats, first of all, because he ripped that right from me. That's almost verbatim. So thank you, Peter. I'm glad to hear you're a big fan. Joe is pretty even keel about it. I mean, he understands that Baltimore and Buffalo have the most talent. I think Joe's opposition and my opposition for the last 6 years, can you beat Mahomes? Nobody's done it yet, but we kind of keep pushing our chips in. Anybody betting against Kansas City?
Sam Panayotovich, Bet Sweats, weekday mornings 9 to noon on the Odyssey app and on the Bet 1520. Well, we'll get back to the Bills, but I just wanted to mention here at the top that I think we're going to get news on Christian McCaffrey in the next few minutes. McCaffrey is Sam's Offensive Player of the Year pick. Also completely reasonable. No screaming is warranted when it comes to that. So that's a fine pick. But last night we got it. McCaffrey popped up on the injury report with a calf injury of some degree, and we don't know exactly what that is yet, but you know, last year's pretty fresh in my mind, Sam, and he missed 10 games kind of out of nowhere right before week one. So for your pick, for fantasy players everywhere that have McCaffrey, fingers are crossed.
That's me. My fingers are crossed. My toes are crossed too. I didn't expect this. I was actually on a train back from New York City with very bad Wi-Fi last night. And halfway through this 4-hour train, New York to Boston, my phone starts blowing up because you get all the messages at once. And it's like basically everybody I've told about Christian McCaffrey like texting me at the same time, like, dude, what the hell? Like, it's my fault that he got hurt. But, I mean, this is the risk you run. This is also why the number was 25-1. Now, there was a video, because you know I'm like forever online and like I'm doing 8 things at all times. There was a video of a reporter asking George Kittle about McCaffrey yesterday, and Kittle's saying, oh yeah, I can't wait to get him out there, like, you know, we've been waiting all offseason for this, like, we're ready to go. And then you got people breaking down that video and saying Kittle's lying from the body language, so like nobody knows if he's gonna play. I'm hopeful, but I'm also like ready to get the bad news as well. So if you have it, I'm more than willing to be reactionary as it allows.
I'll let you know.
I promise to scream a lot.
No matter what it is. How much does he matter to the 49ers, Sam? Which is a sort of a micro way of asking you how important you think running backs are, an ongoing debate always in football. I mean, last night, I think when I'm watching Miles Sanders get run down by Zach Bond, I'm thinking, well, running backs might have mattered a little bit on this play, which, you know, that probably should have been a touchdown. He fumbled later, but does it doom the Niners if McCaffrey is out for, you know, a significant length of time?
So this is a polarizing debate. If you ask an odds maker how much Christian McCaffrey's worth, he would probably say about 2.5 points. That kind of feels a little high, though. I mean, they also said Micah Parsons was worth 2.5 points, and the Cowboys were right there against Philly. So I don't really know the true numerical value. What I can tell you is Christian McCaffrey has the ability to, as you know, Mike, and Bulldog, like he could get 150 yards and two touchdowns when he's in tip-top shape. Like, a lot of guys can't do that. But I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco ran the ball with Brian Robinson. I mean, they were happy to get him. They were happy to kind of put some depth behind McCaffrey. I think when you look back, that move actually makes a lot of sense. Like, it was probably an insurance move at the time. It's not like they're going to get controlled at the line. They still have a good line. They're going to be able to run. But I don't think Brian Robinson can do what Christian McCaffrey does, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I felt like last year, at least to start when McCaffrey was out, Jordan Mason stepped in, and I didn't feel like that was the thing that sunk San Francisco's offense last year. Like, it was the accumulation of everything else that really got him. But
Ayuk.
Yeah, right. I don't have to be correct about that, but I felt like Mason was, you know, decent in a fill-in role.
Me
anyway.
Too.
So
I agree. Now he's in
was a problem too. Their O-line was a big problem coming into last year, and they just thought they had the talent to, like, outlast that, but then all the talent got hurt. So you have a bad line and no talent, and then Brock Purdy doesn't know what to do with the ball, and he's running for his life. So the hope there is the O-line's better, which would allow them to do whatever they want. But also, like, I hope they're not stupid. I hope they don't rush McCaffrey to play, because they don't need McCaffrey in week one. They need McCaffrey hopefully near a playoff push. Like, if he can't play, don't even push it. Don't even risk it.
By the way, quickly and lastly on the Niners and their game against the Seahawks, I was watching you and Joe Ostrowski this morning talk about it, and you made the observation that the total has come down in that game, I believe, and you made a point about how it sort of the markets are reflecting that defense is the winner in this game. I think that screams Seattle. Sorry for another screaming reference. I feel like I've heard maybe more about any unit in the league this preseason about the Seahawks defense and how it might have a chance to be like top five or top three. So maybe people know that McCaffrey is pretty seriously hurt and they love the Seattle defense. So I think I'd be on Seattle here.
It makes sense. I didn't lay 2.5. So I was never going to lay 2.5 on the road. These divisional games are always really interesting week one. I can tell you, like, the best NFL bettor that I know, he's about 60% most years. You would never know him. You couldn't pick him out of a lineup. But he picks this league like no other. And here are the picks he's got. Seahawks, he had Cowboys last night, +8. Browns, +6. Giants, +6. And then he likes the Vikings. He bet him as a dog. But it's mostly divisional dogs week one, and that's all this guy does in week one. And then he makes his adjustments, but he will never not bet a divisional dog in week one. It's his favorite thing. And when he taught me that a couple of years ago, I try and stay away from him because that guy knows more than I could forget, or he's forgotten more than I could ever know about betting the NFL.
You'd rather avoid those games than just tail them?
Yeah, because I really don't want to bet on Sam Darnold. It's a personal choice.
Yeah, no, right. Sometimes the smartest guy you know is like, do this. And you're like, how about I just don't touch it? Because I can't.
Exactly. Now you know. That's my life, Mike.
I'm just going to stay away.
Before we get too far into Sunday and Bills Ravens and even college games tonight and tomorrow, Sam, did we learn anything last night? I mean, the Eagles losing that dude on the first, before a play even happened, it was a very big deal. I mean, it's the best player on their defense. I think there's not much question about that. They've got a lot of good players, but he's the best. And he's out. Dak, we already talked a little earlier today, Sam, even though we've only been on for a little bit here. We thought Dak looked great. I don't know. What did you take away from last night?
I don't know that Philadelphia's secondary is anywhere near as good as it was last year. I came prepared with a question of the day that I kind of wanted to volley at you guys in a second, if we have time. Oh, yeah. It involves this game. But when Jalen Carter goes out, like, that changed the entire game plan for Dallas. And if he's not out there, it's going to be easy for teams to run the ball. Dallas ran it, you know, pretty nicely, 120 yards, 5.4 yards per rush. That's a lot, but that happened because Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott. You know, like, it's a wild turn of events. So I don't know that Dallas challenged Philly maybe as much as it should have. CeeDee Lamb dropped 2 or 3 home run balls. I mean, this game could have been out of reach if CeeDee Lamb could catch the ball. So I don't know that we learned a lot. I mean, Philly's very good, very talented. They're going to be tough to stop with Hurts and Barkley in the backfield. But man, like, their secondary lost a lot, and they've got some injuries at corner. Like, Quinyon Mitchell's awesome. Cooper DeJean was getting burned all over the field, but the Cowboys couldn't catch the ball.
Right. Sam Paniadovich, our guest here on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog on WGR. All right, Sam. Well, Bills-Ravens, the line eventually, or it's not over yet, but shifted a couple of points toward Baltimore to make the Ravens about a one-point underdog here Sunday night. How do you see it?
I think the more compelling move is the total coming down almost 2 points, because everything we talk about and everything we see on most shows is about the MVP quarterbacks and the offenses and how elite they are. And yet the total is coming down from 52, 52 and a half to now 50 and a half. And the 51 is very important, guys. I mean, that's 31-20, 27-24. It's a very key number for totals, and they've blown right through it. Now, I think you're going to get some public money going into Sunday night that drives it back up. So if you miss 51, I would just wait, because you're going to get it. I like under 51, though. I mean, the market and the respected guys in the market are banking on defense. They're looking at the defensive side of the ball. The public's always going to bet overs and look at the offensive side. But the true money so far is on the under, and that's not really what people expect to hear when you talk about Buffalo and Baltimore.
I wonder what that is any more specifically. Like, the Bills' defense might have a little bit of trouble. We saw Baltimore pretty much do what it wanted in the playoff game. The Bills have a hole at corner. And so, I mean, they have some new pieces as well. I wonder if it's maybe more an expectation here of a game where both teams run the ball really well. I mean, Cook last year, of course, Derrick Henry, even the quarterbacks, where you have 8, 9, 10 play drives that sort of bleed clock, and you end up at a game, you know, in the 20s, which is a win if you probably, if you're betting under 51, maybe.
Could be. This is also the highest total of the entire week. Mm-hmm. So last night's game was sitting 47.5 for most of the summer, and then you get to the day of the game, and it's over. And what a bad beat, by the way. You had 41 points at half. You don't get over.
Right.
But it still stayed under, because they only scored 3 in the second half. But that total was 48.5. This one opened, you know, 3.5 points higher. So I think there are probably some people that are thinking that's just too many points for week one. It could just be a mathematical thing. But when you see it move like that, it's definitely, when you get through that 51, like, that's worth noticing in my world.
Christian McCaffrey is in uniform and warming up on the field to start practice today in San Francisco.
Wow! So, yeah. Oh my God! I can't believe it!
Bulldog, you're a natural.
I'm auditioning. I would like to get
clearly.
At 60 years of age, it's time for me to transition to one of the shouty shows.
Yes.
We'll see. I don't know. My big red face will probably hamper me.
Credit to Steve and Sam for coining the term. I've already used it here, too. Survivor, Sam, Steve Palazzolo, Sam Monson. Survivor here, week one. Full grown man here. Likes the Raiders as a road underdog at New England, as at least a consideration, if not a downright pick for Survivor. You'll tell us. I'm going to say by this, at least a slave to the old West Coast, East Coast, you know, road game, 1 o'clock start, the body clock rule.
I'm not afraid of that at all in week one.
It's more in season.
When you start stacking tough travel spots, it gets worse, especially if you have to go across the country, fly all the way home, and then go back across the country. Like, if you play the Giants and then play the Eagles and you're in Arizona, like, that's not ideal. But, I mean, these guys have been preparing for this game for months. I'm not concerned one bit about the schedule week one.
Okay. Why are the Raiders such a strong play for you?
Because I have them power rated higher. I heard you guys off the top kind of ranking your teams, your AFC from worst.
Thanks
first,
for listening,
which I
Sam.
Love.
We appreciate that.
Oh, I listen more than you know, buddy. Don't worry. I have Cleveland as the worst too, but just barely over Tennessee. My numbers have, and again, my numbers could be wrong, but they're my numbers. I have the Raiders 2.5 points better on a neutral, and I have home field worth like 1.6. So I think the Raiders should be basically a pick 'em. and you were giving me three. The threes are going away. I just think the Raiders are better. They have a veteran quarterback. They're going to be able to run the ball. And I like Max Crosby against two rookies on the left side. I just do. I also think the Patriots are overvalued. They won four games last year.
Yeah.
And now they're going to go to the playoffs because Mike Vrabel's here waving his magic wand. I just don't buy it.
Yeah, there has been a lot of hype. We've talked about that a lot.
And the left tackle is questionable, I think, right? The their first pick. Will Johnson, is that what's the kid's last name?
Campbell,
thank you. Mm. The LSU kid with the short arms. I mean, questionable. Maybe he'll play, but still, he might be not 100%.
Right. Well, started to say, like, the Patriot hype has been noticeable, if not insufferable, if you're Sam and you just sort of don't see it the same way. The schedule is easy, though. I keep coming back to that with the Patriots. I think they could be, and you haven't said exactly different, but I think they could be average and, you know, make it to December with a chance to make the playoffs. I still like them as a playoff team, whatever that is. Maybe it's only like plus 130 or something like that, or even maybe not that good.
It's been bet. I can tell you that. I mean, it's been a popular bet, the Patriots to make the playoffs. I'm checking the market right now. Best price you could get is plus 160. Some places are plus 130. But I can tell you this, not to sort of kind of give myself confirmation bias, but there was a group. I had John Murray on our show this week, and he said there was a professional group that bet the under on two teams, the Patriots and the Bears. So I think people let that number kind of like float up, the win total float up, so the math goes in their favor, and then they can take, you know, the miss the playoffs price and under at better numbers. Those are the two teams. I mean, look, they're wise. They make money. Doesn't mean they're going to go 2-0, but I think they think the market is a little too high on both Chicago and New England. And what do you know? They're both two coaches that are going to save the franchise, and that's usually baked into the number as it ever was.
Do want to ask a Bears question. Update on McCaffrey, he is off working to the side, not with his teammates as they go through pre-practice. So it's the ebbs and flows here. Now McCaffrey is in uniform but not working with his teammates. Kyle Shanahan will speak later. I was listening to you guys on the Bears today.
I didn't mean to let everyone down. I decided not to scream there. My commitment to the bit.
I'm all set if you're all set.
Okay.
Your whole panel there, Sam, likes the Vikings Monday night in Chicago. I like your producer, Paul, by the way. He adds a nice little element to your show. Who's betting the Bears, right? Your professional group isn't, you know, Joe's in Chicago. He's not. Everything I hear about the Bears is usually negative. Here we've got Tyler Dunn, our friend today, blasting away at Caleb Williams in a big piece at Go Long TD. Who's on the Bears?
I think the public will come in on Chicago. Remember, that game is Monday night, so you're not going to really know a lot about that market with the public flavor to it. I mean, it's been kind of shaped by the wise guys, but it won't really see that public money until we get through Saturday and Sunday because the public has to see if they have any money left to bet Monday, as you know. But Minnesota opened as the dog, and, you know, Chicago during the middle part of summer was like minus two in the game. And then you just started to see this avalanche of sharp money on Minnesota to move it from plus two to now minus one, 1.5. I think Minnesota's a much better team, better defense. I like O'Connell more than Johnson because he's proven more. And I'm not too concerned about J.J. McCarthy. I heard this clip of Michael Wilbon saying he didn't win a national championship, his teammates did. And I'm like, dude, how many games did he watch of J.J. McCarthy? Probably two, if that. J.J. McCarthy was so smooth and in control of the offense and was able to throw on the run and under pressure better than any quarterback in the country when he was a senior. He also went 27-1 at Michigan, won a national championship, and ended Nick Saban's career. I just don't understand why, like, everybody hates J.J. McCarthy. I'm sorry if I'm yelling. I just feel very good about this.
Did Kornheiser scream when Wilbon said that? Was there any sort of big reaction? I don't think that would be a scream worth. I bet you.
No,
you don't really
not,
get the
screaming.
That's
not there.
You get the occasional, oh! Why are you so down on Illinois compared to everybody else you talk to?
I'm not necessarily down on Illinois. I just think that they have a lot of questions at the skill positions. They brought their entire offensive line back, which is great, and they brought their quarterback back, Luke Altmaier. That's awesome. But they also lost two receivers of the NFL, excuse me. And I went to Illinois, Mike.
Oh.
They don't grow Illinois receivers like that out of the ground. You know, they just don't. They come around every couple years, and I don't know that that's going to happen this year. They also lost their best running back to Georgia. He transferred. So while we talk about all that they bring back, I look at what they lost at the talent level and the position, you know, part of the field, and I just don't – I don't know that they're going to be able to move the ball on a Manny Diaz defense. So I like Duke. I took three with Duke.
Illinois at Duke, is that tomorrow, probably? We're back to a normal world where most of these games are at Saturday.
There's like four or five games tonight and then the full slate tomorrow.
I think it's like 12 Eastern tomorrow, 12 o'clock noon.
Is there anything else you really like in college football this weekend?
So you guys are going to laugh. I laid 48 with Texas Tech. So I thought you were going to laugh there, Bulldog. They are playing.
He's exhausted.
I also have that in a parlay.
What?
I'm on Texas Tech tomorrow.
So a Vegas bookmaker told me, and I put this in my newsletter, which you can find, by the way, on Twitter for free on the top of my page. Chris Andrews has been booking bets in Vegas for 40 years. He knows his way around a number. He said Kent State's the lowest-rated college team he's ever had, going back decades. And they just needed a 100-yard kickoff return to beat Merrimack last week. Oof. That's Kent State. Not a good team. Texas Tech just cleared its quarterback number one, Baron Morton. He was questionable. Now he's going to play. So you're going to get a full half of him, then probably a full half of the five-star backup, and Texas Tech could score 70. Like, it's a big number, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was 42-0 at half.
At SP Shoot to find Sammy's Twitter account, and that link, as he just mentioned, is right up top. All right, did you ask your question of the day?
Well, my question is very simple. We don't have enough time to debate it, but maybe you guys can. Did CeeDee Lamb have a good game? Question mark.
No.
Well, if you ask a fantasy person, well, you got him 18 points.
You just did.
If you ask a better, he did good enough to cover. If you ask a Cowboy fan, they want to leave him in Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too many. I mean, three big drops. Big. Tough to say he had a good game. You know, 7 for 100, though. I'll take the 18 points, whatever it was. I'm not going to throw him back. All right, Sam, thanks for your time as always. We'll talk next week.
See you guys.
Sam Panayotovich on the Western Hotline. Bet Sweats with Sam and Joe Ostrowski weekday mornings at 9 on the Odyssey app and the Bet 1520. We'll take a timeout. Next up is Matt Schauff from Draft Sharks Fantasy Stuff. Christian McCaffrey in uniform for practice in San Francisco, but working off to the side, which is probably not great. They teased us with, Here he comes, and then, wait a minute, you know, he's over there. The next step down is the bike. Watch out for the bike.
Right.
Matt Schauff next, Football Friday on WGR.